Okay, it's good to be here for the first time. My first time. I was actually here a couple of years ago on July 1st or July 2nd or 3rd or 29th or something like that, in June. Anyway, I'd like to read this morning in Luke's Gospel, chapter 24. I'm going to turn this down a little tiny bit here, my mic. Especially if I get excited, you're going to be clearing out of here. Can we turn down the mic a little bit? Okay. Okay, that's better. Yeah, Luke's Gospel, chapter 24. We are going to read the whole chapter. I believe it's good to do that. You know, some of us get up this morning and jumped in the shower and made sure our hair was nice and, you know, what do you call it, combed and stuff like that, and shaving lotion on, and makeup on, and out the door without reading this morning, you know. So we're going to read one chapter together, you know. Luke 24. Now, upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were more perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how we spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. And they returned from the sepulchre and told these things unto the 11 and to the rest. And it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna the mother, and Mary the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed not. Then rose Peter and ran to the sepulchre, and stooping down he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs, and they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that you have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleophas, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast thou not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed, and word before God and all the people. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to receive all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all things the scriptures, the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village and where they went. And he made as though he would have gone farther, but they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, The Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. and they told them what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, Peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, Why are you troubled, and why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold, my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for the spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, Have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and honeycomb, and he took it and did eat it before them. And he said unto them, These are the words which I spoke unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Then he opened their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures. And he said unto them, Thus it is written, that it behoved Christ to suffer and to rise again from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but wait here in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, that he was parted up from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. I know that was a long portion to read. The Word of God is very, very important, that it is our daily bread. The Lord Jesus himself said that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. I'm sure that in the past number of years you have heard various messages on Luke 24. It's a beautiful passage. But as we study and meditate upon the Word of God, I think it's very important that we realize that it is the Word of God. Sometimes these guys that write these big books on commentaries on the Bible, I remember looking at one time, and it was about this thick, and it was about this big, and it says, did Matthew write Matthew's gospel? And I'm thinking, forget it, you know what I mean? But at the time I finish that, you know, I won't have time to read Matthew's gospel. And I think it's important that we get into the Word of God, because God will feed us by means of his Word. The cross is easy to understand from a human perspective. Why do I say that? Well, because an innocent man was murdered by crooked politicians and religious leaders. But the empty tomb, who can explain that away? It was a supernatural act of God, that God reached down and touched him. It says, the Lord Jesus himself, he says, no man takes my life from me. I lay it down and I take it up again. So we see God in all his omnipotence. They are displaying his love towards us. The first thing we want to look at here this morning, we want to look at the empty tomb. It says, now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came to the sepulchre bringing spices which they had prepared. Well, if you would read back a couple of verses earlier, it says that these ladies in chapter 23 and verse 56, it says they prepared the spices. They rested on the Sabbath day, and then they brought the spices very early on the first day of the week to anoint the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why do I bring that out? Because here were some sisters that came to meet the Lord on the first day of the week, and they came prepared. I mentioned how we get up in the morning and we make sure that our hair is combed and our teeth are brushed and we have our best clothing on and so on. But spiritually speaking, have we come here as brothers? Did we come here this morning meditating upon the Word of God? When I get up this morning, we were staying with Brother Larry. We met Larry up at the fly fishing camp up in where is that place? I don't even know. It was in the middle of the wilderness. I went up to do some work with Tim Hood, with old cars and stuff like that. And Tim said, well, we're having a fly fishing camp too. Why don't you and Caleb come up? So we went along, and you know, Kelowna is hot, so I bring, you know, I never wear shorts. Nobody will ever accuse me of wearing shorts, but I had t-shirts and dressed lightly. And he said, I hope you brought some warm clothing. I'm thinking, Kelowna, are you joking? But it's pretty cold up there. And he says, it's down to freezing at night. And anyway, getting a little bit sidetracked here, but I was thinking, when I stayed with Tim and Linda Hood, I would get up, not too early in the morning, but I get up early in the morning. And I get up and I went up out of the bedroom and up into the living room. And I look, and Tim is there in his favorite chair, and he's reading the Word of God. I look at the other end of the table, and Linda's there with her Bible open, and she's reading the Word of God. This morning when I get up and I come down to the living room, I look and Larry is sitting there and he's got his Bible open reading the Word of God. I'm not trying to give pats on the back to Larry or Tim or any of these guys. What I'm saying is this is their manner of life. Oh, the preacher's here. We better get our Bibles out and start reading it. No. It's our daily nourishment that we open up the Scriptures. And why do we do that? Because we were born again. And Paul in his letter to the Corinthians says, if Christ be not risen, we are of most men, most of all men, most miserable. Because we have no hope. But Christ is alive and he reigns in our hearts. So I was impressed with the sisters coming. You don't see it about the brothers getting up early in the morning. The sisters were up. Lots of the times men get up and where's my coffee? Where's my breakfast? Yes, the sisters are up there and they're preparing it and looking after us. And we're glad they do. And I hope we tell them that we're glad that they do. I hope we show our appreciation to them. It's important that we show our express our love to one another. So the empty tomb was the first evidence of the resurrection, but actually the empty tomb doesn't prove the resurrection. What do I mean by that? Well, because you know that the rumor was going around that the disciples came and stole his body away. That was a rumor. So how did Jesus defeat that rumor? He appeared to them. First, he appeared to Mary Magdalene. Then he appeared to the other sisters. And then they went back and told the disciples that were still hiding for fear. And it says they didn't believe him, but they still ran down. Well, maybe they could be right. So they get down there. And the Lord appeared to Peter. The Lord appeared to the other disciples in the upper room. But remember, Thomas wasn't there. And he had to come back a week later. He missed a week of enjoying the Lord's presence. So when you come to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul says there were more than 500 witnesses of his resurrection. And remember when they had to replace Judas Iscariot as the apostle, what did they do? They wanted a person that was with Jesus and one that was a witness of his resurrection. So then when you come to the book of Revelation chapter 2, when they talk about the church at Ephesus, it says there were some that were among them that said they were apostles, and you have proved them that they were liars. How do you think they proved that they were liars? If they read their Bible, they said, listen, did you spend time with Jesus? Were you a witness of his resurrection? That was a scriptural test. So it's good for us to go over some of these grounds and to get grounded in the message of the Holy Bible. The other thing we have in these first couple of verses with the empty tomb, the angels met the disciples, and their message was one that Jesus was first of all betrayed, and then he was crucified, and then he rose again. I know a certain assembly in Vancouver, and some of the brothers have warned me. They said, listen, if you go to that assembly, make sure you preach on the resurrection, or one of the brothers are going to come up to you right after a meeting and say, you didn't mention the resurrection today. Not mentioning any places. But things like that happen. See, yes, the resurrection is part of the gospel message. You know? So I think we have to remember to tell people, yes, Jesus is alive. Why does that matter? Because he's the God, not of the dead, but the God of the living. And that he will judge the living and the dead. So the second thing we see after the open tomb is the open mouth. In verses 8 and 9, it says, they remembered his words, and they returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and unto all the rest. So we have the application of the truth that we have learned. They shared what they had learned. Their testimony was not received. But in verse 15, we see something, and it says, and it came to pass that while they communed together, this was the two on the road to the disciples, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. So we see the idea of Peter and John running to the tomb on that resurrection morning. And then we find the Lord meeting with them, and we find also the two on the road to Emmaus. It was mentioned in this morning in the breaking of bread. But the principle we find here in verse 16, it says, it came to pass that while they communed together, what were they talking about? He asked them. They were talking about the Lord Jesus Christ and what had happened to them. And it says, and while they communed together, Jesus himself drew near. The Lord wants to be near his people. This morning, we had a breaking of bread meeting where we remembered the Lord Jesus Christ and his death on Calvary's cross. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. Yes, the Lord was here. So they talked about Jesus mighty in deed and in word. Why? Because people see what you're doing and then they listen to your words and they say, is that true or not? So it says our walk should match our talk. And that's why the message of that Luke portrays is they talked about the things that Jesus did, and then he talked about about his word. And these disciples were dejected because they doubted the power of the Lord. And then in verse 28 and 29, we see these disciples, they had an open home. We are thankful for an open home. Brother Larry offered to put up with us and feed us and hear our complaining and our bad music and so on. But we're happy to have fellowship, and that's the greatest thing. You know, like you can have so many things. I remember there was a man by the name of B.J. Thomas, and most of you remember him from his song, Raindrops Keep Falling on My Head. And he professed to be a Christian years ago back. I became a Christian in 1976. I'll talk a little bit about that tonight. But he professed to be a Christian. And he put out a couple of Christian albums. But one of the albums, one of the songs that he recorded made a serious impression on me as a young Christian. And the song was Loving Things and Using People. And he said, that's not the way it should be. We should be loving people and using things. So, you know, it's just like, you know, you give your son an iPod or a Game Boy or an iPad or the latest new one that's coming out, you know, in a couple of months' time, you know. And, you know, like the first day he gets, his face is smiling and he's so excited about this thing, you know. But it's not long before next Christmas that there's a new Christmas list. And that thing isn't as important as it was last year, you know. And so many things are like that. Whether we buy a new car, whether we buy a new house, the things of this world, they're going to pass away. But the things, the friendships that you develop and what you input into people's lives, that's what's going to last. Are you building into people's lives? Are you living this selfish, self-contained life that concerns me, myself, and I? So when we get to this place, they opened up their home. It looked like he was going to keep on going. And I think the Lord tests us sometimes like this. And one thing we find in verse 29, he never forced his way in. He never said, okay, I'm going to come to your house and I'm going to stay. It says they constrained him, saying, abide with us. So they valued his fellowship. Why did they value his fellowship? Because if you look at verse 25, it says, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them the scriptures, all things concerning himself. So I want to think about this verse in this sense. First of all, his teaching was systematic. He started with Moses and the prophets. Later on, if you read down the chapter, it says he spoke concerning Moses and the prophets and the Psalms. So it was a systematic teaching that he gave them. And then secondly, it was a prophetic teaching. He would go to that verse in Isaiah chapter 52 and 53 that we heard about this morning, and he would say, this is speaking of me. He would go to Zechariah and he'd say, this is speaking of me. And then his teaching was is expositional. He expounded, you know, the old, where I got saved in the gospel halls back in 1976. And sometimes a brother, he would take one verse from here and another verse from here, another verse from here. And he would make a nice soup, you know, and you say, man, where'd you get that, you know? And sometimes the things were just wonderful. But I remember one time, you know, and back in those days, you know, I was out of the hippie culture, you know, and, you know, the Beatles and Rolling Stones and that, and I had long hair when I got saved. And I remember being at a conference and the brother talking about, he was talking about Absalom driving down the road and his hair got caught up in the thing. And then he turns around and he says, you know, the sister shouldn't have long hair. The brother shouldn't have long hair. So he goes off on this here tangent. Instead of saying, okay, if we're going to deal about hair, let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11, says a man should have short hair. Okay? So like I say, sometimes we sort of jump around like that. And this was expositional teaching. He went through it systematically, like our brother did this morning in Isaiah chapter 52 and Isaiah chapter 53. And then it was exhaustive in the sense that it was all the scriptures. He didn't have his pet verse, his favorite hobby horse. And then fifthly, his teaching was Christocentric. It was centered on the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. If we go wrong there, we go wrong in our whole study. We've missed the whole point. The Lord Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. And then verse 40, we see his open wounds. He showed them his hands and his feet. And again, I want to bring this to us in relation to the Lord's Supper. You know, I travel around a lot because I'm a full-time preacher. And sometimes I'm in the Lord's Supper and I'm thinking, where have these brethren been? They have departed so far. And, you know, and sometimes it's the older brother's fault for not saying to that young guy, brother, we appreciate you taking part this morning, but remember, this meeting is about the Lord Jesus Christ. You show forth the Lord's death. So we all, we're not, listen, if you have four brothers go and attack them, that's not the way. There should be one brother saying, listen, you know, the kindest of the oversight, you know, some of us are good Bible teachers and others are really kind and we can really talk to people gently and so on. You know, it's not the guy that has all the answers is the correct one to go and straighten out people either, you know. So I think we have to use our wisdom and how we handle this, you know, and teach one another and exhort one another in love. So it brings us back to the reality of his great love for us. He showed them his hands and his feet. Can you not look at the wounds in the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ and say, like Paul, the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me? And then in verse 45, he opens their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. So what I'm getting at in verse 44, he said, these are the words which I spoke unto you while I was yet with you. So remember when he's walking along the road to to Emmaus, he's talking to the two disciples. Now he's talking to the group of disciples that are gathered there at the seashore. And he's going back to his ministry. So why do I say that? Because when we teach the Word of God, there's a repetition that's needed. If I were to ask you, who spoke last Sunday? You say, Tim spoke. Okay, what did he speak on? It was a young guy I met in Safeway, and he said, I was at church this morning, because he has to work at Safeway, and he doesn't always get to get out. And he said, it was a really good message. And I said, what did they speak on? I don't remember. But I'll look it up. It's on the website. I'll go there on the website and look it up, and I'll tell you. Well, did that sink into his heart? Was that truth for just for the head or for the heart? Because if it's in the heart, it's going to stay there. You know, you're going to say, yes, that warmed me up. Excuse me. So that's part of being a Bible teacher. Repetition. It not only involves repetition, but teaching demands repetition. So there was an apprehension of the truth, and it bridged that gap from the head down to the heart. So now they could act upon their knowledge. And then in verse 47, we have something very important. We have the gospel message that should be presented today, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations. If you look at gospel tracts are still used, they're still being printed, they're still being written, and you can go through a lot of gospel tracts and they will miss that prime word of repentance. When the Apostle Paul spoke in Acts chapter 20, he talked about repentance towards God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because without repenting, without realizing that we're sinners and we have offended a holy God, then we cannot be justified. We cannot be forgiven. There is no peace with God that can be made unless we recognize and say, Lord, I have sinned. Remember the story about the prodigal son? The story of the prodigal son. He came to the father and he said, I have sinned against heaven and against you, Lord, you Father. So our sin, lots of times we have sinned against people and we can never undo that sin. Even though you go and say, I'm sorry, your words might have cut to the quick. You might have damaged the reputation with hundreds of people, and that damage will never be undone, no matter how sorry you are. But you should be going to God and saying, Lord, with your power, I will never do that again in the future. That's the idea of forsaking your sin. Some people say, oh, I'm sorry for doing that. And then the next week they're offending somebody else. So that's a changed life. And then the last section we have is an open heaven. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was carried up into heaven. You know, we're going home. Isn't that good news? No matter how bad things get, no matter how bad this body is breaking down, you know, every time I go home and see my mom, it breaks my heart. She's 79. And you say, well, I know people are 79. They're in pretty good shape. Well, she came down with something called polymyalgia when she was about 62, just after she retired. And she almost died probably before she was 65. And she has to sleep in a lazy boy chair, or an easy boy chair, whatever they call those things. She goes to bed for an hour and has to get up. You know, this old body's giving out, isn't it? You know, and I'm looking at a photo of her the other day, and there was five of them there. There was her, she's the oldest at 79, and then she has a youngest sister. She's a couple of years older than I am. You know, there was 12 kids. She was the oldest in those days. They had big families. So there was 12 kids in the family. You know how many are left? In the picture, I had five, and I had to make a comment on the Facebook. I said, there were five, but now there's four, and none of them are very healthy. My mother being the oldest, and sometimes my mother is healthier than the two youngest sisters. You know, life is fragile. Life is very fragile. But, you know, we're going to have a new body. We're going to have a glorified body. We're going to be raised again in resurrection power. We're going to live an endless life. But not only that, we're going to be in the presence of the one that loved me and gave himself for me. So Luke ends his gospel with the ascension, and he begins the book of Acts with the ascension. But this message, instead of discouraging the people because Jesus went away, they were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. In verse 52, it says they worshipped him. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the word of God. We're thankful that it is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. Yes, it defines our thoughts. It convicts us of sin. But Lord, not only that, it gives us an encouragement to draw closer to you. For that we are thankful, that it encourages us to be in fellowship with one another. It encourages to share the message of hope, the message of life. We give thee thanks and we commend the brothers and sisters into your care. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.